Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Welcome to another episode of the Sound of the Living Waters. I'm Pastor Moore, a.k.a. Joe Israel, and today is another beautiful day in Minnesota. We are enjoying the Sabbath day in our Father's peace. Man, and we're talking about dealing with double portions today. What do you mean dealing with double portions? Well, today is the second Sabbath, man. I mean, you know, you get a chance to deal with the Sabbath day and the Passover. That's right. Today is the second Passover. You know, those of us that participated in those things last night, we was able to take part in that Passover. God bless, God bless, God bless. I don't know if I'm getting some kind of feedback.
You sound good, sir.
Say what?
I say you sound good, sir.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Shabbat shalom, Brother Hutchinson. How is everything with you?
Oh, God is good, brother. I'm just so grateful to be a part of the second Passover. You know, he resurrected us this morning and gave us breath of life, so we'll be part of this solemn assembly.
Amen. That's from God. Because without him, you know, you wouldn't even be in the conversation anyway. So if he don't bring you to the conversation, you know, you either have the right to either be a part of it or bashing it, you know, but you can't say you wasn't called, right?
Yes, sir.
So today we're dealing, as you know, we deal with on the Sabbath day here at the Sound of the Living Waters, and I'm telling you guys, you better start listening out for a future broadcast, and that is to say evening broadcast. We want to consider this other broadcast we call the Black Couch. That is to say, you know, we let out our so-called ear out on the Black Couch. You know, whatever we need to go through, get loose or let loose, we want to start those things. Kind of like a psychological release. So up and coming, we got programs that we're really considering is called the Black Couch. Please consider that in your reference. But with that being said, Brother Keith, do you have a subscription we can open up with? And brothers and sisters, we're going to ask our sisters if you can cover your head. And brothers, if you can uncover your head as we approach the Father. And stand and face the East.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. I have read Psalms 136, verses 1 to 11. May the Lord add a word. May the Lord add a teaching to the reading and learning of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. Oh, man, I have my mic on. Please forgive me.
Oh, God, that's fine. Give me 1 second. I'll do it again, please.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. I have read Psalms verses 136, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord add a teaching and a blessing in the reading of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit upon those that hear us and give them two a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom to unstop and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we've been dealing with this creation, we're dealing with the angels, and last week we dealt with the wisdom part that women receive, right? Because women, you know, everybody think they receive the Holy Ghost. No, you don't. Women don't receive the Holy Ghost. That's a masculine spirit. Women receive wisdom and the other word is to see. They get this. Go to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 4. In fact, pick it up at the 1 and read right into it, because it tells you first how to see. When you see her, this is going to be her conversation, right? So this is God identifying what a woman of God is going to look like to a man of God. Start at 1.
Proverbs 7:1 reads, "Keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them up upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman."
See, that's what righteous women receive. They receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding. They don't get the spirit of Holy Ghost because that's a masculine spirit. They don't get this. Now, the reason now, he said, "My son, when you keep the word and things like that, then you understand when you see the things that belong to a sister or a kinswoman, wisdom and understanding, then it would prevent you from running into this." Verse 5
reads, "That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words."
See, that's the thing. Now, we're not going to go into this conversation because this is not about her. We're talking about this part right here. Now, last week we covered this, and I think we went into detail about what is wisdom and what is understanding and what is the spirit that a woman is supposed to receive from God. Let's go into verse chapter 8 and pick it up at 1. Proverbs chapter 8 and 1, we're going to confirm it.
Proverbs 8 and verse 1 reads, "Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?"
See, there it is again. They were the same conversation that we just got through reading in Proverbs chapter 7. Now, God is testifying that she got a word in the speech in the creation, and it's this. Her conversation is wisdom. Her conversation is to understand those things that come from a conversation of wisdom. Right. And then it says this. Now watch this. Read down to the verse, read to 4.
Proverbs 8 and 1 reads, "Do not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men."
Stop. See, that's her conversation. This is what she gets in the creation. She gets, this is her portion, what we call the Holy Spirit, but she don't get this. Watch this. Go into John chapter 14. Go to John chapter 14. Now, this here is reserved for your brothers. This is reserved for them. Now, watch this. Now, imagine these two conversations coming together, wisdom and understanding, and then this. John 14 and verse 15. When you receive a read, John 14 and 15.
Yes, sir. John 14 and 15 reads, if you love me, keep my commandments.
See, that's the same conversation he gave her. He told her in the beginning and over there in Proverbs chapter 7, that's the same thing he said. What you do is you do this. You love me, you do what? You keep my commandments. He's saying the same conversation, but here he's addressing it different. Watch this. Verse 16, it continues.
Verse 16 reads, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever.
Stop. That's a masculine. You see that? That he may abide with you forever. See, that's not Proverbs chapter 7 or 8. This is for the brothers. Now look what they receive. Verse 17, continue.
Verse 17 reads, even the spirit of truth, whom the
world cannot receive. So with her come wisdom and understanding, with him come the spirit of truth. Absolute. God is love. God is truth. God is absolute. Let's look at this conversation pertaining to truth, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to look at this definition for truth, because he said even the spirit, so the spirit of truth got to come in this conversation. So when it address us, it got to be like this. Conforming to the fact or actuality. So it can't lie. 1 + 1 = 2. I'm going to confirm that 1 + 1 = 2. We can't get around that. Reality, actuality. I mean, reality is what it is. I'm not going to lie to myself. I can't lie to myself. What I am is who I am, and that's the end of that. You can't lie to yourself. No matter where you are, no matter where you go, there you are. You can't not run from yourself. So the only thing is that you got to deal with the truth of yourself, whether you like it or not. And the things that you don't like, you need to fix those things. The reality of a situation. See, now your surroundings is your reality, your surroundings. You see what I'm saying? Is your reality your truth? The reality of your situation is your truth. Wherever you are, that's your truth. That's where you at. You are where you are because that's your truth, nobody else's. See that?
Amen.
The state, a statement proven to be or accepted to be as true. Such statements considered as a group, sincerity, integrity. It says that the quality of being true, genuine, actual, factual, something that is true or supposed to be as opposed to false. So you can't be in both conversations. You either got to be the truth or you're a liar. And I'd rather remain in the light. I mean, I'd rather tell you my truth and you be disappointed in me versus I lie to you and you find out later that I was a liar and I still disappointed you.
Right.
Exactly. So the truth will always set you free no matter how you feel about it, you know. Anyway, let's get back to the script. It says this, so this is what the confidence to do. It's a masculine spirit. So when women don't get a masculine spirit, if they do, we gotta consider that possession. Because women isn't supposed to be possessed by masculine spirits. In fact, continue.
Amen.
That's why we read that last, man. We read that last week. What is the spirit that a woman is given after she's baptized? She's given the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, a chaste conversation, things like that. Those things belong to her. You know, that is to say that's written in the heavens concerning her, which complete her whole M.O., if she received it. But then, you know, this world is really, you know, drawing and It'll lead us back into the things that are, that got us into the conversation where we're at in the first place, right?
Yes.
Okay, where are we?
We're at verse 16.
Okay, continue.
I'll skip up one. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And
see,
I will not
there it
leave
is. There go two masculine identities. It says, but ye know him, masculine, for he, masculine, dwelleth with you and shall be with you. So he's talking to the disciples. So he's saying these things here belong to you, brothers. You see, but those things that belong, the Holy Ghost that we call that belongs to the women would be virtue, chaste, virtuous, virgin, right?
Correct.
Wisdom and understanding and so forth. I mean, help mate. Also, the conversation of God, you know, that's there because he said he created her in his image, right? And even the conversation of a queen. So all these things belong to her. Those things belong to her. I can't put on the mantle of a queen, so I can't, you know, we got to really look at this as a reality. If she's given the spirit of wisdom, then that's her gift. So if I'm given the spirit of truth, wisdom and truth got to kiss each other because that's what wisdom is. Truth. Wisdom is the truth. Anything outside of that is an unbalanced or unequal, we call unequally yoked, right? So he said this. He said, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, well, the world can't receive it because they don't believe in it. One, because they think it's okay folky stuff or super spookish or maybe some church nonsense or, you know, babbling. It is in a lot of ways, you know, and so forth. In a lot of ways, the conversation is legitimate. But this one here that he's talking about from the throne that give us salvation is the ultimate truth. This is not what you've been getting in the storefronts. This is not what you're going to get at Walmart. You're not going to get that there. You got to get this first by searching him out. If you haven't read your scriptures, he's not dealing with you here. He's dealing with you over there. He's not dealing with you here because you haven't read your Bible. So you don't know what the truth is. How can he tell you what the truth is if you haven't even proved to yourself what the truth is? So you're not in this conversation no matter who you are, no matter whether you're a woman or a man. You're not here if you haven't read your book. So if you have, then he can do this. He can send the spirit of truth. Then it'll be able to do this. Continue.
Verse 17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
See, now, wait a minute. How can a masculine spirit be inside of a woman? See, there it is. So it can dwell inside of a man. There go another law that belongs to the angels that can possess us. We can't possess the angels, but they can take over our bodies. Ask Samson. Ask David, King David, when he was when he went to war. Ask Solomon when he gave his wisdom. These things, angels can take us over, and they can either give us power or they can either give us wisdom. This is those things. But they're called comforters if we receive them in peace. We got to be at peace with ourselves to get this. If you're not at peace with yourself, you'll never receive it. This is is why it's called a comforter. Let me read this word comfort. So the first thing you have to learn is to be at peace with yourself. A lot of people aren't at peace with themselves, and they think they have the residue of the Holy Spirit, and they don't. Comfort, to soothe in time of affliction or distress. So while you're going through a trip, or you might be up on a low, or your vibrations may be beaten, getting beat up, then it's a time, this is what this being do. It keep you in a place like this. It'll keep you in a calm state of mind. You don't never lose control of where you are or your situation. Just deteriorate or fall apart if you have one of these deals, because he calls it's called a comfort, right?
Right.
It says to ease physically or relieve, so it can ease you physically. You know, you may your body it got the power to heal your body up. You might feel something. You can rub your own arm and heal it up. Your feet might be bothered. You can rub your own foot and heal it up, because this thing dwells inside of you, because it has this kind. The law says that it can do this for our bodies, because it's here, and we need those things done because we got work to do. So
amen.
How else are we going to go forward unless we have this kind of conversation? And those type of laws are given to these type of beings that we'll be able to operate in their way. And look at this. It says this. Skip down to 26, because it says this. It says, a solace of constellation in a time of sorrow, something providing ease, convenience, or security. You see, so it's there to protect you 24/7. And you're not even supposed to be like Jesus was asleep on a boat, man, while the waves was all over the place and the disciples was having a fit. And he was like, and the Lord was in the corner talking to him while in his dreams while he was sleeping. Right? One of those deals.
Right.
Hey, let's get back to the scripts. Pick it up in verse 26.
Yes, sir. Verse 26 reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
See, that's the thing. You have to have read all of your book for him to talk to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. That's his job. That's why you got to read the entire manual. That's why you got to read it from Genesis to Revelation. If you haven't read it from Genesis to Revelation, he can't talk to you. He can't deal with you, because you'll be undone. You'll be incomplete, unfinished. You'll be green. You'll be like an apple that hasn't ripe. You ever ate an apple that hasn't ripe? It's awful.
Bitter.
Yes. Tart. It's real tart. It's awful. There's nothing you can do with it. You can't cook it. You can't do nothing with it. Feed it back to the earth. That's the last thing you can do with it. So if you haven't read your Bible, the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you can forget about it, man. You ain't getting this, because he can't deal with you like that. Your fruit will never manifest itself. Your fruit will never become ripe. He shall teach you all things. What's all things? Alpha, Omega, the beginning to the end. All things. You got to been there to see that. You got to be there to know that. You got to been there to know that. You got to been there to see that. So how can he teach you all things unless you've been there? Whatsoever I said unto you, from Genesis to Revelation, he said, in the beginning, and then he said, I'm in. I am. That's it. Right? This is what he do. This is what he's for. This is the Holy Ghost. This is what sent. Now, he sent this, and he said it's going to dwell in you, right? So we act like the Holy Ghost don't dwell inside of men. You know, and I disagree, and we act like it just started in the New Testament. You know, and truth be told, it started in the Old Testament a long time ago. In fact, let's look at that. Go to Daniel's. Go to Daniel's chapter, let's pick it up in chapter 5, and verse 1. This is Nebuchadnezzar's son. This is the one that took over after Nebuchadnezzar died. Daniel worked with both of these dudes. In fact, he's going to outlive all three of them. In fact, he's going to outlive Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Watch this. He's going to outlive the Babylonian kingdom and move right into the Medo-Persian Empire. One and one.
5 and 1?
5 and 1, yes, sir. And just read, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Daniel's 5 and 1 reads, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came 4 fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the 3rd ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in
stop.
The ways of thy
stop,
father.
Stop. See that?
Yes.
See that? And whom is the spirit of God? See that? She didn't know,
because
she don't know who God is. But they was already celebrating all these things, but they knew Daniel's because they knew who his father is, because they seen him walk through the fire. They were there, they heard the story, and they heard about the den of lions, and they were there, they heard the story. Now, here they are still on some monkey business. And now she said, well, remember Daniels? And now Daniels is like, now she said, yeah, that's right, that's right. But it's too late in the game because, you know, if you know better, you do better. He, like, completely forgot that the God of Israel who ruled among kings, and now he about to lose his throne. Continue.
Verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king
You see that? There it is. Understanding and wisdom. There it is. You see it? Told you.
Yeah.
If you see it with the Holy Ghost, those things, see, that's people act like Daniels wasn't married. He wasn't a eunuch. He was a family man. And I can almost imagine that his wife reflected his consciousness. At this far up the food chain, I know his wife reflected his consciousness. For as much an excellent spirit of knowledge, understanding, read that 12 again.
Verse 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation.
Stop. You see that? All this come and when the Holy Ghost fill you up, it said it'll teach you all things that he said unto you. All things. So this is Daniel. He's showing that he got it. This is what you get when you fill with the Holy Ghost. You get this. You get an excellent spirit of knowledge and understanding and the interpretation of dreams. And showing of hard sentences. So you'll be able to break down things that's really difficult. Dissolving doubts where all of a sudden people start believing in the things that belong to God. You see? Excuse me. Daniel had that spirit. And Jesus hadn't came yet. See that? So where the Holy Ghost start? Exactly. When did the Holy Ghost start? In fact, go to Psalms chapter 16 and 3. Psalm 16 and 3, what'd that tell us?
Psalms 16 and 3 reads, but to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight.
See that? But to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent are in whom is all my delight. See, he's telling us here that it's an excellent spirit that's in the saints. Daniel was a saint. He was a saint that lived among men. He was an alien that lived among us and like Jesus Christ. He was one of them type of deals. You know what I'm saying? He was a supernatural deal at his time, you know, because he did some wonderful things like walk through fire, stood before lions. He was definitely an alien. He was definitely not from this. He was definitely not from this plane. I would say this type of window of time, because he's going to be born in a time for all of those that was born out of time. Let's look at this a little further. So we see this. We see that the Holy Ghost, man, has always been in the planet, man. It did, you know, people act like, you know, it started with, let me find this verse. I want to show what it, you know, when it started opening up to me that the Holy Ghost had already been in the earth before Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that Jesus Christ didn't give us the Holy Spirit. He magnified it. Like, you know, he plugged it into like an amplifier. But the thing is that it was already in the planet. It was already moving, you know. But we as a whole, we didn't know it or see it, you know, unless one of the prophets came up, you know, one of the timekeepers grew up. Then once they showed up, then, you know, then we've seen it. You know, not everybody get to see it. You know, not everybody get a chance to marvel at those things, because those things are precious, right? It's like, man, yeah, those things are just really, really precious. Let me see if I can find that. Okay. All right, there it is. Now watch this. Go to 1 Kings. All right. And 1 Kings chapter 8 and 20.
First Kings chapter 8 and verse 20 reads, "And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel."
See that? He sat on the throne of God. The throne of Israel is the throne of God. When you sit on the throne of God, you get the wisdom of God. You see,
amen.
This is that thing. That's what Solomon got. See, people miss that. Watch this. Go to 1 Kings chapter 1 and 30. When he sat on that throne, that's when the wisdom came on him. See, we all get different ministrations at different times. He got his when he sat down on that throne, and it blew up his mind, right? That the Holy Spirit was surrounded around his throne. Now watch this. Now I'm going to show you what I mean by this. Watch this. 1 and 30.
Yeah. First Kings 1 and 30 reads, "Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day."
See, he gonna do it too. "Even so will I certainly do this day." I'm gonna sit on your throne too. See, that's his throne. And wait a minute. Now, here's the thing, man. This is what happened when you sit on the throne of God. Watch this. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Because remember now, it's the Holy Ghost filling me in, right? So if you're a king and you sit on the throne of God, the Holy Ghost cover you up, right? Watch what's happened when you sit on the throne of God. It blows your mind. You know, it got to blow you. It's like when you sit down on the throne of God, if God willing we live, we're going to become 100% cerebral and literal at one time and one moment. And it's going to be like we plugged in eternity and knowing all things, all the equations in one blink. Revelation chapter 4.
Revelation 4 and 1 reads,
Go ahead, read.
Okay. Revelation 4:1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle."
Stop.
The four beasts.
You see that? No, did you see that? You see how you just read past that? Watch that. Read 5 again. See that? This is when we get caught up in the lesson. Read that 5 again. Watch this.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices.
See that? That's the Holy Ghost on the throne. No, when you sit on the throne of God, you get that. You see that? That's what you get. You get thunder, you get lightning, and you get the conversation of God. Voices. That's why Solomon was able to rule. That's why Solomon, when he sat on the throne of Israel, it ignited all of this here. All this jumped off. All of that kicked off on him. See that?
Yes.
Read it again.
Verse 5 reads, And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there
what are those thrones, man? What were the thrones? What were the thrones would be telling him?
Keep the commandments.
What would the throne be telling him? I tell you what the throne would be telling Solomon. You know what it would tell Solomon? God created nothing to put something in it.
In the beginning.
That's what happened when you sit on the throne of Solomon. That's what happened when you sit on the throne of God. Then he start having them kind of conversations. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. He start bringing up those kind of things to you, or whatever those things that you made. Like, some of us may be in the government of God, so we start paying attention more to the work of the government and the administration of the spirit, such as Joseph and Nehemiah and Ezra. And, you know, the kings and how they operate through legislative work and things like that, in captivity and out of captivity. You know, we still operated legally, so to say, also with the world. So this is that thing, man. So anyway, go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, and pick it up at verse 1.
Revelation 19 and 1 reads, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteousness are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again, they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great."
Wait a minute, man. Did you hear that? The throne had props over the angels. It told the angels to listen up.
It lived.
Did that throne just tell the angels to listen up?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a lie.
I just thought I heard that. I thought I heard the throne told the angels, you better listen up. And them angels fell on their face.
Yes.
Hey, bro, do this for me, man. I know I haven't asked you to do this in a while, but I'm going to ask you to read that in reverse for me.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right.
Read verse 5 from the bottom up to 4.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is the throne right here. This is the throne talking to the angels. Listen at this conversation.
"Great and small, both. Him fear that ye and servants. His, ye, all, God our praise, saying, Throne, the of out came voice, A, and, Alleluia, Amen, saying, Throne, the on sat that God worshipped and down fell beast. For the and elders 20 and four. The and."
Stop. You see all that? It said great and small both. He said him fear ye, fear that ye. And service his. Ye all, right? God, I would pray saying, the throne. See, this is that thing. He made all them bow down. The throne is talking, right? It said, out of the throne came a voice, and it said this, hallelujah, amen, saying, throne the on a set, the God worship. See, when Solomon sat down on the throne, that throne started talking. See it? Do we see it?
Yes.
There it is. There's a spirit around the throne, right? But then there's another spirit that possesses us too, right? Is this. Let's go into this, into Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And verse 1.
Picture.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Joshua 5 and verse 1 reads, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And
stop.
Joshua made him sharp.
Stop. So the God of Israel said, before you go to war, y'all need to be circumcised. So I need y'all to make knives so sharp that y'all can circumcise each other without injuring each other. So their knives were like laser sharp. It just cut the foreskin off with no problem, without hurting the man, because the foreskin is a thin layer of skin. So we wasn't going to have no accidents. So these knives couldn't be dull, because then it would, you know, brought infection and stuff like that. These knives had to be literally sharper than a surgical knife. Right? He said, make you knives. Knives, right? He said knives, right?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Woo, woo, woo. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins.
See? That's the thing. That knife had to get right there and it cut the foreskin off. That's what it did. So that knife had to have been surgically sharp, Jack. It had to be super sharp. That knife had to be sharp. Now watch this. Skip down to 13. You're going to see why those knives had to be so sharp. 13 and continue.
Verse 13 reads, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host.
Read on, brother.
Of the Lord, yes, sir. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so.
Now, he said this. He said, now, his sword was drawn, right? Let me ask you this. He said, I'm the Lord, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. He got his sword out. You think his sword can circumcise anybody? Of course. His sword is sharper than anybody's knife out there. That's why their knives had to be that sharp. When they got ready to go to war, it was whatever they hit was going to catch it. It was going to catch it right, exactly. What whoever they hit was going to catch them knives that was that sharp. And the Lord sent the angel of God in front of them. They didn't have a chance.
Bringing a knife to a sword fight?
I think they brought it off. What you don't bring is a dull knife to a sword fight. Them cats brought blades that was invisible. If your knife is sharp enough that they can cut somebody without them even knowing it, then the angels can do their job invisibly. Because people won't even know that they're being cut by even the angels. So the Lord sent angels to even fill us for battle, you know. You see. This is that thing, even for battle and stuff like that. You know, the Lord, he has different, administrations for us. You know, not everybody is created to be a prophet. Not everybody created to walk on water. We all got different administrations, right? So some administrations is that some of us is going to be warriors. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 5:23. In fact, pick it up at 22.
2 Samuel 5:22 reads, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of it going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Jabba unto thou come to Gazar.
See, he sent the angels out there. They were invisible, but if their knives
are sharp, sharp enough to circumcise a man cleanly, then what would it do to take somebody artery or vein or hamstring or, you know, bicep, tendon? Man, they can literally dissect somebody without them even thinking about it. They could be, and then on top of that, why they coming so fast, the angels is also moving, and they, the people won't even be able to discern between the two because both of their blades is equally sharp. He said, I'm going to send the army in front of you. So what they going to do? Watch? No. They're going to possess this army to double fight. They're going to take over these this army, and they're going to fight the Philistines, and that's what they did. They possessed the whole army of men. And this will happen, you know.
Wow.
Let's see. And this is another situation. Let's go to... let's see. Judges chapter 14. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to go to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Yeah, Judges chapter 13. And let's see. Ooh, I'm going to have to go a little further back. No. I'm in Samuel's. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, you said Samuel's?
No. Judges. Stand judges. I just want you. We're gonna get to the. I want to get to the script. I want when it says he got when the Spirit entered into him, and so let's see. Right here, Judges 14 and verse 5. So Samson was into these Philistine women, you know, and they kind of tall, you know. So and most Hebrew Israelites is like bouncing between 5'9" and 6'2". You know, these Philistines were like 7 or 9 feet. What was up with him? You know. But he was into this, right? So anyway, his mother and father were like, why are you bugging? Why can't you find your Israelite woman or something like that? Kind of same conversation. Like, no, I got to hide me one of them over there. That big, tall, sedani looking, Manute Bowl looking woman, you know. Yeah,
Lisa
Samson was into that. Boy, and don't get me wrong, the new bowl got some beautiful women in this community. They're just giants. You know. They're giant women. That's all to it. They're giants. And this was his dig. Imagine that. Continue.
All right. Judges 14 and 5 reads, then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and mother what he had done. And he went down.
Wait a minute.
And
so see that? The Spirit of the Lord. See, the Spirit of the Lord will come up on you, man, that you would be able to fight even a beast.
He ripped his lion in half.
Man, right. Like a lamb. He broke him in half. Right. And you're talking about a lion, man, 400 pounds of muscle. Johnson got him, man. So this is that thing. He said the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, you know. This is that thing. You see? This is what we're talking about. We, you know, the God, the Spirit of God is, you know, he got different administrations of the Spirit. And the Spirit has called you to do different things, man. Not everybody's going to walk on water. Somebody got to go to war. Somebody got to play the Lion of Judah part like Joshua did. Somebody got to play that part. Somebody got to be the teacher like Solomon did. Somebody got to be the preacher like Solomon did. You know, somebody got to be an interpreter like Daniel, you know, or a watchman like Daniel. That's another spirit. In fact, let's go look at that. Go to Daniel's chapter 4. Daniel's chapter 4. Daniel's chapter 4. And let's see. Daniel's chapter 4 and 13.
4:13?
Yeah.
Daniel's 4:13 reads, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, take off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowl from his branches. Nevertheless, leave a stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender of the grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and set up over it the beast of men.
The basis of man, the lowest, the, you know, the scoundrel of man. Right. So it said, this is a matter by the decree of the watchers, man. So you got some people out here that just born to watch the signs of the times. You know, they're called the watchers. And they want to, you know, they make sure that things are going according to prophecy. You know, this is that thing, man. It's, you know, and the God of Israel have those people out here in the creation. They're there for that one purpose. This is that thing. You know. Watch this. Go to Ezekiel. fact, go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 52. And 8. Isaiah 52 and 8, when you receive it, read.
Isaiah 52 and 8 reads, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion."
See, they see. They the seers. They the ones that see everything. They watching. That's their job. They watching. And they also got another position to do. And we're going to make this on the last verse, man. Let me see. Ezekiel chapter, I can't even go to 33. No. So, let's see. Yes. Ezekiel 33 and seven. This is also their job.
Ezekiel 33 and 7 reads, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me."
See that? He said their job is to warn them from God, man, to warn the people from God. That's your position, to warn the people that God is, hey, either finna jam you or he's finna come or whatever, you know, put your sins, you know, light up on the sins that you're committing or whatever. That's what a watchman would tell you to do. You know, but that's their job, man. They're going to warn the people, you know. Daniel was a watchman. Amen. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. Any hands up, questions, Brother Keith, anything to that effect?
I just want to say,
if you have any questions, anything like that, just press 1. We'll open up your microphone. If not, we'll keep your mic closed. Okay, Keith, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to, first of all, I want to say all praise to the Most High God. We should always keep him first. I thank the Lord for us to be part of this feast day and the Sabbath as well. I pray to God that no one, thank you. I pray to God that anyone that's listening to this word should never take it for slight and just write it on the tablets of your heart. You know, Lord be with us all. I mean, we alive and he love us and he still keeps on teaching us and widening us with his knowledge. So it was an excellent lesson that the Lord put on your heart, Brother Job. Grace and peace to the family. May the Lord pour out his blessings and all his love upon everyone. And with that, I close.
Amen. And before we close out, we want to wish everyone around the world that's listening to us via internet, man, want to say increases to Israel, man, and the numbers is going up, man. Man, Brother Peter, getting it done out there, I see. Canada is increasing. Shabbat Shalom to you as well. Israel, Shabbat Shalom. The United States of America, Shabbat Shalom. Japan is increasing. Shabbat Shalom to you. The United Kingdom, hey, welcome back. Shabbat Shalom to you as well. Brazil, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Chile, Shabbat Shalom. Nigeria, Shabbat Shalom. Egypt, Shabbat Shalom. Hanging in there. Ethiopia, Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Ethiopia. France, Shabbat Shalom. United Kingdom, I think we said that one though, but hey, a double portion, Shabbat Shalom. Germany, Shabbat Shalom. Turkey, Shabbat Shalom. I think we said Shabbat Shalom to Egypt and to Ethiopia. Iran, Shabbat Shalom. Pakistan, Shabbat Shalom. India, Shabbat Shalom. China, Shabbat Shalom. Japan, once again, Shabbat Shalom. Indonesia, Shabbat Shalom. Australia, Shabbat Shalom. Always welcome, welcome, welcome. And all of Russia, Shabbat Shalom. We're all praying for you, fam. Hoping everything will work out. Germany, I think we said Germany. Turkey, we got Turkey. Did we get Nehemiah? Let's see. Indonesia, we got Indonesia. India, Myanmar, Myanmar. My God, stay in there. Stay, hang on. And, yes, keep on, stay with that word. Stay with that word. Pakistan, we got you, right? And China, right? Shabbat Shalom. And I think we got everyone here. Right. So I think that's everyone. So, with all that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know who he's talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.